All right, if you know it, if you know the words, feel free to join in with me. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room. And heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven, heaven and nature sing. Joy to the earth, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs employ, while fields and floods, rock hills and plains, repeat the sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy, repeat, repeat the sounding joy. No more let sin and sorrow grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make his blessings flow, far as the curse is found, far as the curse is found, far as the curse is found. He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness, and wonders of his love, and wonders of his love, and wonders of his love. So I'm guessing some of y'all are kind of wondering, why is he singing a Christmas song during Advent? You know, we're not supposed to sing Christmas songs until Christmas Eve and the 12 days of Christmas. Here's the thing. That isn't a Christmas song. Isaac Watts wrote that hymn in 1719 and published it in his collection, The Psalms of David, imitated in the language of the New Testament and applied to the Christian state and worship. Yeah, they wrote some long names back then. This song is a paraphrase, actually, of Psalm 98. Psalm 98 isn't about the coming of Christ. Watts and others believe it's talking about the second coming of Christ. When Jesus came the first time, the earth didn't receive her King. John 1:11 says that he came to what was his own, and his own did not accept him. The first time Jesus came, it wasn't as our reigning Savior. Isaiah 53 proclaimed centuries earlier that he would come as a suffering servant, which he did. The first time Jesus came, it wasn't to reverse the curse. He came to atone for it. He came to pay for it as a sacrificial lamb. The first time Jesus came, it wasn't to rule and reign on the earth. Jesus said it himself, my kingdom doesn't consist of what you see around you. If it did, my followers would fight so that I wouldn't be handed over to the Jews. But I'm not that kind of king, not the world's kind of king. The first time Jesus came, it wasn't like that. It's not what happened that first Christmas morning, but that doesn't mean we can't sing joy to the world during Advent. Even though Watts wrote the hymn about Jesus' triumphant return, it's still based on the joy that comes from Jesus' first sojourn to earth. Advent, like that song, is like wearing a pair of trifocals. Some of you may be wearing trifocals today. For those who aren't familiar with trifocals, which means you're probably under 50, Their glass is set up with three lens strength. When you look through the top, you can see things that are far away. When you look through the middle, you can see things that are at a normal distance. When you look through the bottom, you can see things close up. That means you can look at the same thing and see it three different ways based on the lens you look through. That's the way Advent and Christmas are. Silent Night is a wonderful Christmas song because it talks about the Advent joy of Christmas past, the joy of that holy night when God came to earth wrapped in the flesh of a baby. Go Tell It on the Mountain is a wonderful Christmas song because it talks about the joy of Christmas present, the joy of telling the whole world the good news of Jesus' birth, death, and resurrection. Joy to the World is a wonderful Advent song because it talks about the Advent joy of Christmas future, the joy of Jesus' triumphant return. It's the joy of when Jesus will rule and reign, removing the curse of sin and sorrow. It's the joy of when every knee will bow before Jesus and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. So on this third Sunday of Advent, this Gaudete Sunday, I want to encourage you to have some trifocal Advent joy. When you look around you at all the trappings of Christmas, you need to see three views of Advent joy. All you have to do is look through three lenses. The first lens sees the Advent joy of Christmas past. Most of the time, this is the only lens we look through at this time of the year, seeing Jesus as a baby in the manger. We see Mary and Joseph, shepherds and angels, sheep and cows and donkeys. We even see some wise guys showing up. It's a pretty picture, but I'm sure it wasn't what actually happened. When the Holy Spirit inspired Luke to write the passage, it was 80 years or so after it all happened. Luke wrote the story of an overarching event so that the timeline is flattened. It wasn't as clean and nice as a scene as the typical nativity scene presents it. And they certainly weren't lily-white Europeans. They were dark-skinned people of Middle Eastern or African descent. But those aren't the details we need to focus on because they don't show the true joy of what happened that night. What happened that night was that God became flesh. John's gospel tells us why it was so joyful that night. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. The little baby born in that manger was fully God and fully human. The baby was like every other baby except he was born without a sin nature. The baby was God in the flesh, conceived with the Holy Spirit and born without sin. Emmanuel, God with us, born to save his people from their sins. The baby was born to live a perfect and sinless life, endure every temptation, go through every disappointment, suffer every pain. And if you don't believe me, read Hebrews 4, verse 15 later. The baby was born to die a cruel death, a death he willingly went to in order to give you and I a relationship with God that we could never earn. No amount of personal devotion or sacrifice could ever give you what Jesus' death gave you. That's the joy that came to Bethlehem that night. That's the joy we sing about at Christmas time. It's the Advent joy of Christmas past, the joy of God coming to earth in the flesh, providing a way of salvation. But that's not the only view of Advent joy. We know the Christmas story so well, yet too often that's where we leave it. Too often we leave the Advent joy in the manger way back then. When we do, we need to look through another lens. This one is talked about in our second reading this morning. That lens sees the Advent joy of Christmas present. Take another look with me at our reading from 1 Thessalonians. Rejoice always. always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the spirit. Do not despise the words of prophets, but test everything. Hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. The Advent joy of Christmas present. Not Christmas presents, but Christmas present. Christmas presents are fun, but too often the fun doesn't last as long as the payments. Presents wear out, break, don't fit, or just the wrong thing. Sometimes you get the right thing and the right size and everything, but it only takes a few weeks to realize it's not as exciting as it looked on TV. It's not about the Advent joy of Christmas presents, but the Advent joy of Christmas present. I realize that joy can be a difficult concept, especially during this pandemic. I even heard someone say they would have a hard time experiencing joy this Christmas when they couldn't be with family. People see joy and happiness as the same thing. I've said it before and I need to keep saying it because some folks still haven't got it. Joy is not the same as happiness. Happiness is all about the circumstances around you. Joy is about the feeling inside of you. Some of the most joyful people I've ever met were going through some of the most miserable circumstances you can imagine. Then some of the most miserable people I've met have had everything in the world going for them. Joy isn't about your circumstances. Paul knew that. That's why he could tell the Philippians, I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. He could be at the top of the mountain and everything going great, or beaten and battered and stuck in a cold, damp hole with only his underwear. It didn't matter to him. Paul had learned by the grace of God to be content no matter what was happening around him. So when Paul tells the Thessalonians to rejoice always, he means it. This isn't just smile, God loves you, a phony statement from some preacher with nice clothes and a fancy car. This is from someone who was imprisoned more than once, beaten more than once, and left for dead a few times. Still, he's able to say, rejoice always. He can say this because the one who came that first Christmas day gave him strength. Jesus gave him joy. Jesus gave him contentment. The joy that Jesus gave him enables Paul to live with Jesus live like Jesus wanted him to live, which fulfilled his joy. Sadly, many people are like Ebenezer Scrooge. You can look back on an experience in joy, but you're not experiencing joy right now. If that's you today, I've got good news for you. You can have the Advent joy of Christmas present. You can have Advent joy in your life today and every day. If you want to have Advent joy in your life, just look at verse 17. Pray without ceasing. In other words, have an attitude of prayer. Have times of the day dedicated to prayer, but always have an attitude of prayer. If you want to have Advent joy in your life, look at verse 18. Give thanks in all circumstances. If things are going bad in your life, remember that God can work those things together for divine good. If things are going good in your life, don't take credit for them. Thank God for the blessing. If you want to have Advent joy in your life, look at verse 19. Don't quench the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit prompts you or convicts you, respond. Don't ignore it. Don't tell the Holy Spirit, oh, I'll do that later. Don't tell the Spirit you have to do something else first. Respond to the Holy Spirit and do what you're prompted to do. If you want to have Advent joy in your life, look at verse 20. Oh, this is my favorite. Listen to the preacher. When the word of God is prayerfully laid before you, you need to hear it. You need to listen eagerly and expectantly. You need to come with a keen, clean, hungry heart. Okay, I need to be honest. There have been times I've gone to worship somewhere and I entered as a skeptic, knowing a little about the preacher and wondering if the word was going to be preached. And sometimes it wasn't. That's why Paul followed verse 20 with verse 21. You need to test everything you hear against scripture and theology. It's not about your opinion. It's not about tradition. It's not about your palate, personality, or preferences. It's about scripture and theology determining if what's preached is indeed a word from God, which means you also need to study your Bible. That's a whole nother sermon. After you've lined up the preaching with scripture and theology, anticipate what the word is going to say to you. Eagerly seek how it relates to you and work to apply it to your life. Hold fast to what is good. Remember, and I say this all the time, translation isn't an exact science. When the translators use the words hold fast, that was probably the strongest words that they could come up with, but it's not strong enough. It's more than even a clinging to what is good. It's holding on to God's word like a prison holds on to its prisoners. There's Advent joy in holding fast to God's word in that way. There's also Advent joy in avoiding even the appearance of evil. That doesn't mean you have to become a legalist living every exact letter of the law. It means that you apply the teachings you're holding fast to, being sensitive to the Spirit's conviction. It means abstaining from pride by giving thanks to God for everything. It means abstaining from the sin of self-sufficiency by praying without ceasing. That's how you can have the Advent joy of Christmas present in your life now. Joy isn't fake happiness and pasted on smile. Joy is the overflow of Christ in your everyday life. That's the Advent joy of Christmas present. But there is still one more lens to look through. That's the lens that sees the Advent joy of Christmas future. Look with me at verses 23 and 24. May the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be kept sound and blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do this. Many people today, like on this day, are excited and filled with joy because we now have the first approved vaccine for COVID-19. There is joy because people believe that science has won and we will be able to get back to normal soon. I'm not one of those people rejoicing over a vaccine. I'm glad there is a vaccine, but my joy is not in believing that science is in control. I don't know about you, but I can't think of no greater joy than the assurance that God is in control. I can think of no greater joy than knowing that God is working it all out. No matter what's going on in your life or with this pandemic, God knows about it and isn't just sitting back wondering what to do about it. You might be, but you can rest assured that God isn't. God isn't because God made you a promise. The creator and sustainer of the universe promised that if you trust in Jesus, you will be saved. Not only will God save you, verse 23 says that God will sanctify you entirely. That means that one day God will make our posture equal to our position. Okay, I think I better break that one down for you. As children of the king, we wear the robes of the king, but we're not kings. We don't look like kings, and most of the time we don't act like kings. But one day we will. God has promised that one day we'll all wear the crown of righteousness. We'll not only be clothed in the righteousness of Christ, we'll be righteous even as Jesus is righteous. will be entirely sanctified. Our whole self, our spirit will be reunited with a glorified body to form a new and eternal living soul. A new and eternal living soul that will be forever in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's joy in that. There's Advent joy in the fact that God is faithful. There's Advent joy in the fact that God calls you to God's saving grace and you respond in faith believing. Verse 24 says, God's going to do it. That's the Advent joy of Christmas future. The joy that comes in security. The joy that comes in assurance. The joy that comes in the faithfulness of Christ. Joy to the world. The Lord is come. It's time to receive our King. When you do, you'll have the Advent joy of Christmas past. You'll have the Advent joy of Christmas present. And you'll have the Advent joy of Christmas future. Amen.